on WLOB 100.5 FM.
We're watching Fox right now on the television, and there are early voting lines in Asheville, North Carolina, and the lines are long. So maybe they are accommodating these folks who have lost everything so they don't lose their voice. We were, you know, we've been talking to a lot of people down there, and that was one of their big concerns, is that they've lost their homes, they've lost their vehicles, sometimes they've lost their pets or their loved ones. They also don't want to lose their voice. And so I'm glad that North Carolina is working toward that, to make sure these folks who have lost everything can at least still have their voice heard, because that's so important. Shannon, I want to call her Sharon. I have no idea why. Or Sherry. I do know Sherry McDonald. It's McDonald, right?
It is.
I got that right?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I did?
Yeah, McDonald. Wow,
that's amazing. Well, you know, I mean, we meet a lot of people. Anyhow, it's Shannon McDonald who's here. There was a Sherry McDonald who served in the legislature down in Old Orchard Beach. So for some reason, when Joe called me, I had that in my head. But then you're up north, too, aren't you?
Yes, I'm up out of Winthrop, and I'm running for State Senate District 14.
Does that include Belgrade and Rome in that area?
It does not. It ranges from Pittston, Randolph, Chelsea, Gardner area, all the way over to Reedfield and Wayne.
That's a big district.
It is.
Wow. And Joe Petrosky is here. Joe, how are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Glad to be here.
A while.
It has been a while.
Thank you for getting hold of our mutual friend Joe Bruno and getting us connected again.
I always like the fact that we can see each other, and the years may go by, but we're still the same.
So. Yeah. I mean, I'm still fat and I'm old. So, you know, what do you do? So I said this to you when we were at the convention in Augusta, with no offense. I mean, you look like you're 22, but you served 15 years in the military. How is that possible?
I did. Well, thank you. Yes, I joined when I was actually 17, still in high school. And that summer, I ended up going through basic training down in South Carolina. I was enlisted, and I served 6 years in the Army Reserve. And then I decided at that point, after 2 years, I decided I was going to go back to school and get my degree, and then I commissioned on active duty in the military for another 9 years.
Wow.
So I just got out in 2019.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It flies by really fast.
Remind me again, deployed?
Yes. I had 2 tours in the Middle East. My first one was in Afghanistan, and I served as a liaison for a joint task force out there as a field artillery officer, and so mostly clearing airspace. But we had soldiers spread out around Afghanistan. And then on my second tour, I was the first female field artillery commander in a combat theater, and I had soldiers spread across 5 different countries, and we were serving 2 theater-level operations. One was a combat, and one was a partnership mission.
Talk about that. You made a point of saying you were the first female. Were there barriers to that going in?
So when I first commissioned, I was as a field artillery officer, and I had to sign a waiver. I actually showed up to my unit, and in HR, I was listed as a male. And that was something that they were working
confused?
Through. No. But
you don't look confused.
It was just, we had all those different same kinds of struggles of, you know, dealing with females, with men. It was a good learning experience. And
when you were put in this position and then actually had to go out and execute the job, was there resistance, or did everybody just sort of fall in and say, it's another American soldier?
It was another American soldier. I had a really great support system with my leadership. My commander at the time, when I was a lieutenant, he basically just said, just get out there and do what you're doing. And some guys will find it really intimidating. Some might want to give a little pushback, but just stand your ground. And I did, and got out there with them. And so that was the biggest thing, was getting out there on the field with them and seeing what they were doing, and just asking them lots of questions. And it was a good experience. I had a great time.
So going to the state senate, where you're going to have 34 people, that's going to be nothing compared to what you've done with your life.
That's right.
Yeah,
yes.
Good for you. So we don't have to worry about you caving in to whatever the whim or fancy is of the majority up there.
Correct.
That's good. All right, so why are you running?
So I moved back home with the father of my two children 2 summers ago, and we saw that the infrastructure was just crumbling here, and I wanted to get involved in the community. I have a master's degree in public administration that I got when I got out of the military in 2019.
Say that again?
I have a master's degree in public administration.
So you're well-educated, and you're a defender of freedom. I will move to your district and vote for you now.
Well, thank you.
Yes,
I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
So, yes, and we just moved back, and I decided to get involved in the community, and the town was having a comprehensive planning committee. They put out a survey to our town just asking what we wanted to see in our town. What was our vision, basically? And so I wanted to be a part of that, and so I started attending the meetings. And then the town council was also struggling with certain issues surrounding transparency. And so I started attending town council meetings as well, and I just decided to run for the town council. There were 5 of us running for 2 seats, and I got elected. And so now I'm serving in my 2nd year as the chair.
So you outworked your opponent is what you did, right?
I moved right back, and I just got really involved. And yeah. I want to be a good example for my son, my kids. And so I want to sit there and just make it a better community. I want to bring everyone together, and I want to sit there and focus on the infrastructure. I want to focus on our spending. I saw that the prices here were just unsustainable. And so I also, while serving on the town council, I'm now in my 2nd year, I'm serving as the chair, and we've seen a lot of unfunded mandates come down on the towns and counties and schools. And so as far as that goes, just looking at what you were talking about earlier with taxes, it's just, there are a lot of different factors that impact.
Oh, you were listening
taxes.
To the show before you came in?
Oh, yeah. Just
forgive me for all of that. I ask God for forgiveness every night, so forgive me. What's your connection to Joe?
So Joe is our Kennebec County Commissioner, and so he has invited me out to the Kennebec County and to tour the correctional facilities. He has come in and talked to us about the impacts of our county taxes and the breakdown. They have to allocate certain tax portions to each town. And so Joe also is from Winthrop, and his daughter and sons, they were in high school with me.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So I've known him for a decent while, and I'm very grateful for his support.
Joe, as a county commissioner, what's the biggest challenge you face?
Money. We get regulations all the time, and like any business, and we are a business, we have to purchase things. And then on top of that, we are an old county buildings situation. When your jail was built in 1850, there's some problems that occur over time. There have been renovations, but unfortunately, renovations only last so long. We've got an old courthouse. The administrative building that we're in was built in 1916. And this has just kind of all come together because of, buildings weather, you have to replace it.
And I would think a jail built in 1850 would be a deterrent to want to go to jail. That makes sense to me.
Well, I wish people then would take a tour before they get into trouble, because I would agree with that. Unfortunately, they don't take the tour to see where they'll be living for the next year or two, whatever it could be.
So you have learned a lot from him about the county experience, and he's explained to you how the state put mandates on the county. So now you want to leave the town council, or will you stay on the town council?
I'll stay on the town council, actually.
So you're going to pull double duty here.
Yes, I've had some people ask me
Chelsea
if I would
McAnally.
Stay. I've had people ask me if I would. They said, we don't want you to leave on the town council. And I said, well, I wouldn't. That's one of those minor, those things that you actually can stay on for.
Right.
And I think that it would be beneficial to bring a municipal perspective to the state legislature. And I know that we do have the Maine Municipal Association that does contribute, but I would also advocate for that because they're the
Some
ones.
Some of us call them more money always.
Well, yes, but at the same time.
Some of us, not all of us, some of us.
But working at the town level, we do see what these mandates are. And I mean, as far as schools go, as far as towns go, we had general assistance. And just talking about the second and third order effects of all these different policies that are developed at the state level and how they compound, especially given in these years with electricity rates, with the property taxes,
right,
with a whole bunch of different things, grocery prices, and how that impacts the taxpayers and how it falls down onto the taxpayers. So being able to take that perspective and bring it to the state house, I think would be very beneficial.
I couldn't agree more. You keep using the word mandate, and Joe talked about mandate. You get these mandates from the state government that you have to comply with, and then they don't provide the resources to comply with it. And so then where does that go? It goes to the back pocket of the main taxpayer.
It does.
Yeah, it's a... You know, we're seeing it everywhere. Did you guys have a tax increase in Winthrop?
We did. So Winthrop wasn't that big. We tried to focus primarily on need to have versus want to have. And I think that's what we need to do at the state level as well. We had to sit there and make sure that there's a lot of things that we started out as an increase for, but I think that our town manager worked really well with the directors of all of our departments to make sure that we weren't overspending. And that we were just providing basically the bare minimum.
Mm-hmm.
At the state level, it was interesting because they repealed the tax cap, and that was LD 2102.
Mm-hmm.
And then with that, I mean, normally I would think that's a good thing, but when they're sitting there creating so many different laws that the towns have to carry on, and then they repeal the tax cap, essentially that's basically saying the taxpayers have to fund this,
right,
and putting it on the municipalities. Otherwise, I mean, tax caps essentially tie the hands of municipalities because it's now we have to sit there and still pay for those things, but now we have to cut into our services.
And so, you know, I mean, I know you said you came back after serving in the military. I want to be clear about that. 2019. So Janet Mills has been your governor the whole time. But when Paula Page left office and she took over, the state budget was $7.5 billion. By the time she's done with the next budget, it's going to be over 12. It's the largest growth dollar wise of government in Maine history, and it's not even close. Angus King had the largest growth percentage wise. He went from $3.4 billion to $5.2 billion in 8 years. Her growth of government is astounding, and they're not providing the resources to the communities when they mandate them to do things, as you've rightly pointed out and Joe pointed out. Where's the money going? That's what we want you to tell us when you get there.
Absolutely. And that's what I would like to strive to do. I mean, we need to sit there and put measures in place, and we need to sit there and focus on our spending. I mean,
you can see the statistics. Statistically, 50th and dead last in infrastructure. I don't care what they say. CNBC is not a right-wing nut job news station. It's a financial station, 50th and dead last. U.S. News and World Report, not a right-wing mag. We went from 23rd to 50th in education in the country. They use the same criteria with all 50 states. We're pouring money into these things, but we aren't committed to excellence. And that's the difference. Money does not equal excellence.
I agree entirely. Yes.
I know I'm getting wound up. It's supposed to be Christmas Friday here because of Hallmark, but it just drives me crazy. Things have not gotten better. Our economy is ranked 46th or 7th in the country, and our business climate is ranked 47th. It's not gotten better. All of these mandates that come down, all of this crazy stuff they have done has not made Maine stronger, which means our people aren't financially stronger. I hear it every day. People are struggling under the high inflation, the high cost of taxation, and they're wondering why their lives aren't getting better in the state of Maine.
And I absolutely think that we need to focus on accountability. I mean, when you're sitting there mentioning all those things, it's absolutely disheartening. And we're saying yes to a lot of programs, which are wonderful programs. But when we have these, we need to set priorities,
right,
and understand what those impacts are and what the compounding numbers are going to add up to. Just putting forethought into the second and third order effects of these and then taking accountability of what it is. So that way we have a good understanding.
And when you walk into this state senate that you want to be a part of in January, you're going to walk into a $949 million budget deficit. Mm-hmm. You're going to walk into the largest dollar amount tax increase in Maine history that takes place in January because of the Family Paid Medical Leave Act. And you're going to have to find money. Now, there's money in the rainy day fund, but if we raid all of that, our credit rating will go down. So we don't want to do that. I think they're going to look to raid money from places like, because they're not paying out benefits for 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a pile of money that will be coming in from the taxpayer with no benefits paid out. There's going to be a real urge to go and raid that money from that fund. So you got a big task ahead of you. And I know you're, I mean, if you were a field artillery commander and the first female in on foreign land, you're ready for this.
In the military, we did have to sit there and tackle big problems. We couldn't just sit there and push them off to the side. Whenever we were given a task, we had to find a solution for it.
Yeah. This is crazy.
Ray, in your observations, one of the difficulties of this campaign year is so little interaction, questions and answers taking place between candidates. It seems like we have a lot of slogans, I'm going to help you, I'm going to do this and do that. But the specifics are lacking. And that's one of the concerns I have, is that I know we only have a few days left, but we should be talking about these things up front. Do you have any ideas, any suggestions that you want? And I think you're one of the few radio stations in the state that actually tries to get people to talk to each other and explain where they're coming from.
Yeah, I mean, I think being here today, I wish you would come in more. I think we talked about that, and you never showed up.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, we talked about that in May when we met you in Augusta. But I think these are opportunities for come here and talk about ideas. And, you know, you mentioned the merit of some of these programs. On the face, they do have merit. There's no doubt. But they also have to have a priority. And what Governor Mills and the Democratic majority have demonstrated is that everything is a priority, which means nothing is a priority.
Yes, that was a big slogan that I always heard in the military. If everything's a priority,
nothing's
is
a priority. Of course.
So you really
That's why I'm against, you know, across the board cuts.
Yes.
You know, when somebody says, let's go in and cut across the board 10%.
Nope.
What they're telling you is nothing matters more than anything else. And that's not true.
Right. That's absolutely. Whenever it comes to a budget, I mean, it's one of those things. Do you pay your bills or do you sit there and go onto Amazon and Temu or something like that?
I say you go to Amazon personally.
Yeah. But you really need to sit there and focus on the things that matter the most. What's going to give you the best buck in the long run?
We're talking with Shannon McDonald. She is running for the state Senate out of Winthrop and... Your towns.
Oh, so I have Pittston, Randolph, Chelsea, Gardner, West Gardner, Farmingdale, Hollowell, Manchester, Monmouth, Winthrop, Reedfield, and Wayne.
Chelsea McAnelsey. I mean, how? That's a lot of towns. That's a lot of driving to serve all those people. There's no doubt about it. And Joe Petrosky is here. Is it Kennebec County that you're commissioner in?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Right.
How long have you been doing that, Joe?
I've only been there 2 years. In fact, I'm the first Republican in 44 years to serve.
Wow.
All the way back to Mr. George Smith was the last Republican
really?
To serve as county commissioner of this district.
Wow. So, George Smith, what a good guy.
Yes, he was.
He went way too early.
Yep.
Way too early.
Yep.
That's wow, that's amazing. 44 years, no Republicans.
That's
no
right.
No wonder it's out of control.
We're trying.
Shannon, what is your number one priority when you're sworn in January? Number one.
Taxes. Property taxes, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're trying to get rid of the budget validation process for the schools, which is a terrible idea. We, at least, it is an opportunity. And I know we get low voter turnout. I hear all that stuff. But at the end of the day, it is a chance for the citizens to take a look at things and say, what did you do? My hometown of Westbrook, for the first time in 11 or 12 years, we shot down the first budget. And then they came back and told us some tales and, you know, anyhow, whatever. Lewiston, as you know, I think they went through it three times. But they're trying to get rid of that. You talked about taking away the tax cap for the communities. That's a very bad idea. I mean, I get it. These people are on a spending drunk up there. They may be nice people, but they're not good leaders. We need, and I know you can lead because you've led.
Thank you.
And you did it in the face of death.
Yes.
Well, it's true. I mean, let's just be honest. So you're not going to be afraid of them.
No.
When Peggy Rotundo comes up to you and says, honey, you don't understand. We got to raise taxes here. We need more money. You can say,
no.
No.
No,
no, no.
Correct.
There we go. I love that. That's great. So do people know this about you?
I think a lot of the people in Winthrop know me.
But you got about 27 towns here.
I do. I've been trying to get out and do door knocking as much as I can, mostly more so in the beginning of the campaign back in March and April and May, I think. But then over the summer, we kind of have just been focusing. We were also building a house, so we were trying to get some of that done. And then my kids. I have a almost 2-year-old and an almost 4-year-old. So we had a lot of swim lessons and lots of other activities going on this summer as well, but door knocking, talking with people, and then I've gotten back out a little bit more recently around like the Gardner areas, and I have a really great team working with me. I wish that there was more time in a day that I could get the kids down for bed and then get out and around to everybody, but I'm sure nobody would want a legislator, politician, or potential politician coming up to their door at 8 o'clock at night.
They would if you're going to cut their taxes because they're tired of this.
Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what they say, the old cliche is so true. If you want something done, find a busy person and they'll get it done. You're a busy person. You got a lot going on.
I do.
Thank you.
That's good. Yeah, it's good. So, and you got an ally at the county commission, so that's really good. And, you know, Jeff Timberlake was here yesterday. Do you know Jeff?
I don't know him personally.
Jeff is, his family owns Wicker Hill Farm, which has been around since 1803 up in Turner. But this is his last term. He served 4 in the House and now 4 in the Senate. And he was talking yesterday about the fact that the fiscal responsibility in Augusta is completely out. It's gone. And we all know it. Yeah. They argue and say we were very fiscally responsible. They weren't. They aren't. No Maine family has had the dramatic rise of their family income like the state government has had a rise in their income. No Maine family. Mm-hmm. And so the government should not be doing well when the people are struggling. I don't mind if the government has money to do things that are necessary. They're not doing the necessities. We know the roads and bridges are in big struggle here. That's why we're ranked dead last in the country. But the government should not be flourishing when the people are hurting.
No, they should not. And that was one of the
big things.
That was
a softball that you were supposed to swing hard at.
Sorry. So in Winthrop, too, I mean, that was one of the big things we've come back. And when I said the infrastructure was crumbling, it was a literal term.
Yeah.
We came back. And we've been focusing primarily on our roads. There are resources out there to help with towns. And so we have taken every opportunity to take advantage of that. And so we've repaved a lot of roads. We've been focusing on sidewalk development in our town where we put in a request through the DOT and there's grant funding out there. Again, that's all through the state. But at the same time, if it's there, we're going to take advantage of it. We need to cut down on it. And right now, that's basically just subsidizing the municipal, what I can do to help our taxpayers at the town level.
There's an old saying, I say it all the time, the good Lord helps those who help themselves. One of the things that I've always thought would be great for Maine, and we've talked about it here for 15 years, is that within the transportation money, we do block grants, where if a town is willing to put up some money, the state, you know, let's say you get $1 million. I'm using big numbers here, but $1 million from the state. And if the town is willing to match it, suddenly you've got $2 million going directly into infrastructure. I think those kinds of things where the towns are helping themselves, the state could come along behind them and help out. And by making that a focus, a lot of towns, as you know, they don't maintain their infrastructure, whether it's the roads and bridges or whether it's the buildings. But if they're willing to be an active participant in their own health, their own infrastructure health, the state could come along and be a partner in that. I'd love to see that kind of an idea fleshed out in the Senate.
Definitely. I agree with that as well. And when we start talking about affordable housing as along those lines, yes. I start looking at what can we do to incentivize municipalities to update their zoning laws, to streamline their permitting requirements, clearly define their measurable zoning, or create measurable zoning ordinances, update things. At the town level, we saw that some of our ordinances hadn't been updated since the 80s, 90s, early 2000s. So it's been a matter of going through those ordinances and making sure that they are up to date.
Well, and for so many, we have a lot of builders in here, a lot of real estate people. The overregulation of Maine building, as an example. Look, we want safe buildings. We do. We want secure buildings. But, these permit fees and the licenses, they're so crazy. One of my friends built an apartment complex behind our church over in South Portland. It cost him $2 million before he put any concrete in the ground. That's absurd. That's right.
Realistically, it's supposed to just cover the administrative costs.
Well, it's supposed to. And you know, another thing, and I know there are a million things we could hit here, but why do you pay these permitting fees for somebody to come out and inspect you? That person's already getting paid, mm-hmm. right? They draw a salary.
Yeah.
So they're already getting paid. Why are we having to do this? Those are all barriers to development. And if Governor Mills says we need 83,000 more homes by 2030, and she's bringing another 75,000 people into the state, we better start putting some concrete in the ground.
Yep. Yeah, I agree.
We could go on for days.
Yes.
I know it's really late in the campaign, but what are the chances? I ask you in May, I'll ask you again now, that you might come back before.
I can come back before if you'd
we
like.
We would love that. You're
okay.
Fabulous.
Oh, thank you.
And they should vote for you.
Definitely.
And Joe needs an ally.
Yes, he does.
He needs one desperately.
Actually,
I mean, you're fabulous.
The people need an ally.
Well, they do. They do. But, you know, you're in the county sector of the government, and you need an ally. You need somebody who understands it. You clearly understand it. More importantly, what is this really all about? The role of government in this country? Protect our freedom.
Yes.
And you've done that in uniform.
Yes. And I still feel that calling.
Yeah. Protect our freedom.
Yes.
That's the number one job of government in this country, uniquely among nations.
So does your husband.
Protect
yes.
our freedom.
Yes.
Protect our freedom.
Both of us are veterans.
Yeah.
And both of us served as field artillery officers.
So that's why we need
yes.
you in Augusta.
Definitely.
I would love for you to come back.
Thank you very much.
Great. We got to run. It is, wow, it is, well, it's well beyond my time on the air.
Hello, fellow Mainers. I am Ron Russell, and I am running to be your representative for the United States Congress in Maine's 1st Congressional District. I spent 30 years in the United States Army as an Airborne Ranger, Green Beret, and I retired in 2006 as a colonel. After retirement, I started a small business with three friends, and we grew it into a large business over 15 years. I believe the job of a member of Congress is to be a representative of the people, listening to your concerns, informing you of what is happening in Washington, D.C., and meeting with you on a regular basis so that I can best understand your interests and concerns. My opponent rarely meets with her constituents, and her voting record does not represent the people of CD1. I want to be your representative in Washington to defend your freedoms. Go to RonRussellForCongress.com to find out more. That's RonRussellForCongress.com. Paid for and authorized by the Ron Russell for Congress Committee, Ron Russell, Treasurer.
Hi, folks. My name is Scott Ducharme, and I'm running for Maine State Senate, District 34, for Kennebunkport, Wells, Berwick, and North Berwick. I believe Mainers need economic relief now, and I'm ready to deliver. As a chief engineer in the United States Merchant Marines, a small business owner, father, and grandfather, I care deeply about our state. I'd be honored to earn your vote for early voting in October and November 5th. Paid for and authorized by Scott Ducharme for Maine State Senate.
For talks on further helping Ukraine battle Russia, he also commented on Israel killing Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar, saying justice was done.
He had the blood of Americans and Israelis, Palestinians and Germans and so many others on his hands.
And a Hamas official says there'll be no ceasefire until Israel withdraws from Gaza. America's listening to Fox News.
If your approach to everyday aches and pains is to mask them, you know, feel better for a few hours only to have the pain return and then repeat the cycle all over again, it's time to try Relief Factor. And the good news is, Relief Factor makes that easy. Their three-week quick start is just $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Instead of masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it. How? Well, its unique formula of ingredients helps support your body's response to inflammation. Relief Factor was developed by doctors. It's 100% drug-free, and for so many people, the results are game-changing, even life-changing. So give it a try. Right now, their three-week quick start is just $19.95. Go to ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. See how in a few weeks or even days, Relief Factor can reduce your pain. When you feel better, life is just better. So don't mask pain. Fight it naturally with Relief Factor.
It's an up and down morning at the stock market. The Dow falling 174 points from yesterday's close in a 115-point, however, increase for the NASDAQ. And the S&P 500, it's up 11 points. The price of oil is down almost a dollar. It's back under 70 bucks a barrel. Gas down a fraction, but AAA's national average for regular remains at 3.19 per gallon. Now, the Biden administration is planning a power grid upgrade with a $10 billion plan for 38 projects spanning 42 states.
The funding couldn't come at a more critical time because energy demand, as we know, is rising nationwide, and it is straining our outdated grid infrastructure.
Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm says they'll be building and modernizing hundreds of miles of transmission lines. Now, most of the power is back on after millions of outages caused by Hurricanes Helene and Milton. But there's still a lot of recovery to do in flood-ravaged western North Carolina. Fox Weather's Jane Minar is there.
We're in Swannanoa, North Carolina, just outside of Asheville. And the road to recovery in western North Carolina is going to be a long one, quite literally. NCDOT saying that nearly 7,000 roads and bridges have been damaged, with early damage estimates up to over several billion dollars so far. And a lot of hard work has been done. 600 roads still remain closed, with 100 of those on parts of state interstates, as well as federal and state highways. As far as crews, there are 2,000 crews out here working across western North Carolina to reopen those access points and rebuild these roads to communities.
The baseball playoffs resume today. If the Dodgers win again, they'll advance to the World Series after LA took a 3-1 lead over the New York Mets last night in the National League Championship Series. New York's other team, the Yankees, still up 2-1 on the AL. After the Cleveland Guardians beat him with a game-tying home run in the bottom of the ninth and then a walk-off homer in the 10th. I'm Dave Anthony. This is Fox News.
WLOB, FM, and AM next with Maine's Total Weather from Channel 8 WMTW.
A frosty start to your Friday, but we're looking at a slightly warmer afternoon today. Temperatures will top out around 60 degrees with wall-to-wall sunshine. Overnight tonight, clear and cold in the 30s, but a beautiful, mild weekend is expected. Temperatures will top out in the mid to upper 60s. Both weekend days, plenty of sunshine to enjoy. The sunny and dry stretch continues into next week, with southern Maine looking at highs in the low 70s on Monday. From Channel 8, I'm meteorologist Colleen Hurley, bringing you Maine's Total Weather.
Oh, honey, it's our favorite leaf filter trusted pro, Matt. Matt, come in, come in.
Hi, Mrs. Sparks. You wanted me to stop by? Is everything okay with your leaf filter gutter protection system?
Okay. Of course, silly. We wanted you to stop by for dinner as our way of thanking you.
Yes, to thank you for that free gutter inspection, the free estimate, and what was the other thing?
That lifetime guarantee.
Well, Mr. and Mrs. Sparks, those are just Leaf Filter's policies. Everyone who calls Leaf Filter gets a trusted pro to come out for a free gutter inspection and estimate. And every Leaf Filter installation comes with a lifetime guarantee.
So it's not just us?
No, sir. We don't want anyone to worry about clogged gutters ever again.
You mean everyone gets this level of service?
Everyone. They just need to visit leaffilter.com/WWO to schedule their free inspection.
Okay, but you must be starving. You work so hard.
Ready to love your gutter protection as much as we do? Visit leaffilter.com/WWO and get up to 30% off today.
See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
He's the happy conservative warrior. From the Relief Factor Studios, here's Mike Gellin.
I'm nervous. I don't like being in this good a mood. I don't like being this optimistic, and I sure don't want you to think that we've got this in the bag, but oh boy. Jack Smith's back. Oh yeah, the judge, Judge Chutkan, is back. She last night ordered more documents be revealed in the Jack Smith Trump investigation. Now, there's nothing to see here. That's not political. She's not trying to interfere with an election or anything. No, it's just transparency. Pay no attention to the fact that the election is 18 days away. They're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. They're going to throw everything they got. Last night, Kamala Harris made the dreadful, awful decision to boycott the Alfred Smith dinner. The Alfred Smith dinner is a giant political and philanthropic institution. Trump's gone for years, and every Republican and every Democrat candidate always goes. Last one that didn't go was Walter Mondale. He lost 49 out of 50 states. Only Minnesotans voted for Walter Mondale. I don't like to make fun of my friends in Minnesota, but you got that badge of honor, huh? You're the one state in America that voted for Mondale. And he, too, boycotted the Alfred Smith dinner. He, too, was too cowardly and chicken to engage in a night of good-natured jousting. And it was. It was such an... I was amazed at my own...